This is URN
Showtime Breakdown.
Hello. Why do you... You've started doing this thing where you start with a really, like, creepy pause and just, hello.
It's not a creepy pause.
It's a little bit creepy.
It's a pause.
Suitable for Halloween.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Spooky.
Why?
Because it's Halloween.
It is indeed.
I don't do Halloween. We're going to start that straight. Hello. Ella, Abby, you know the drill. I don't do Halloween.
No.
At all.
And neither do I, really. I only use it as an excuse to watch Nightmare Before Christmas before Christmas. That's
yeah, because I watched
much...
it at Christmas last year. It's not a Christmas film.
No, Halloween film, definitely.
Really misleading. I didn't like it.
Rude. Oh, we can't be friends anymore. I'm going to leave. Bye.
To be honest, I'm really excited about the Halloween playlist. We've got some cracking songs.
Musicals that do kind of creepy, gothic-y Halloween spirit very well. Starting with our first song.
Yes, that was, of course, the prologue from Little Shop of Horrors, which I know is a firm favourite of Abby's family.
It is. My dad asked for more Little Shop of Horrors, so that is technically for him. It's just a really great show, which features loads of very strange elements. So you've got, like, a masochistic dentist and a plant from outer space that is trying to eat people.
A planet
from outer space would make more sense.
And let's not forget, because that's taken from the 1986 film version.
Yeah.
And... That stars Levi Stubbs.
Does.
Famously, the singer of the Four Tops, who sings our favourite song, Loco de Acapulco.
It all connects.
Which I'm not going to sing, because I've done that on the show before, and it doesn't go well. But yes, this is our Halloween special, and so we've got an hour's worth of music from Halloween-related shows. Some are more Halloween-y than others. Little Shop of Horrors, obviously very Halloween-y. Our next song, definitely Halloween-y. Bat Out of Hell we've got. And then we've got some firm favourites like Jekyll and Hyde. Cats, which does link.
Okay. I'm excited to see what the link is for that one.
It's mainly the fact that I'm really scared of McCavity as a child. Like, stupidly scared of McCavity.
Just screaming in terror. That must, yeah. Does that make going to see it in an actual show quite difficult for you?
No, because I'm an adult now.
Are you sure?
Shush. So if Little Shop of Horrors didn't get you in the mood for Halloween, or just for some brilliant show tunes, this next song definitely will. I have been waiting for so long to talk about this musical, because it opened in the West End earlier this month, and I've been kept saving it for the Halloween episode, and we're now here.
Yay.
I'm so excited. It's, of course, Mel Brooks' hilarious Young Frankenstein, which has just opened at the Garrick Theatre in the West End. If you're not familiar with the original 1974 film, it's basically a horror spoof that follows the grandson of the infamous Victor Frankenstein, who is now a lecturer in America, and he calls himself Frankenstein because he wants to disassociate himself with Frankenstein. He's played by Gene Wilder, and he's basically forced to travel back to Transylvania and accidentally ends up bringing a monster to life. And it's so funny. It's such a good show. And then following Mel Brooks' success with, like, every other musical he's ever touched, most famously The Producers, which is still the best musical in Tony history.
Indeed.
Yes, following the success of that, he decided to make Young Frankenstein into a musical, which opened on Broadway in 2007 with Roger Bart, who was also in The Producers, played Carmen Gear both on Broadway and in the film, as Frederick Frankenstein.
Fun facts.
And we've got some fun facts coming up later. Ooh. I think they're just facts.
Can I nitpick and say that
no,
Frankenstein wasn't originally from Transylvania? He's probably thinking about Dracula. Anyway, that's just my English lit knowledge coming through.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's from Germany, I think.
It's never occurred to me.
But there you go.
That's nonsense. You're not going to like this song.
Oh.
It's all set around Transylvania.
Damn it.
Yeah, so now we'll get to that. So having been really successful on Broadway back in the late 2000s, it's then sort of toured around America, and then it had a run up in Newcastle, and then now it's transferred to the West End with a simply amazing cast. Like, I love every member of the cast of this. Hadley Fraser is playing Frankenstein. I know him from Phantom of the Opera, the 25th anniversary production. He plays Raoul. Also saw him as Javert in Les Mis. He was wonderful in that. He appears in the film version of Les Mis as the soldier who tries to kill, like, all the good guys. He has a mustache.
Lovely to know.
If you want to watch that, I'll get Abby to share the picture.
If you ever watch any sort of musical-based film, or even any film, Ella will tell you all of the facts that she can find out about all cast members, yep. including all supporting cast.
Yes, there's a lot of really stupid knowledge, I know, from just IMDb. So Hadley Fraser playing Frankenstein. Summer Strallen as Inga. Leslie Joseph as Frau Blücher. And then, of course, Ross Noble as Igor, who I'm really like, because I missed Ross Noble in The Producers. He was playing Franz Liebkind. I saw Phil Jupiter and said, who was very good, but I'm really good as I missed Ross Noble. So I imagine he's going to be amazing in this. And what's really nice about this particular version of the show is that Mel Brooks has had so much creative input into it. And I was watching an interview with Ross Noble the other day, who was like, oh yeah, Mel Brooks is great, but he's the only director who changes his mind within one sentence. So he was talking about how, because Marty Feldman played the role of Igor in the film version and did it amazingly well. So Mel Brooks was just like, yeah, just copy Marty, copy everything. But not that much. Do it less. Don't copy it as much, but copy everything. But not that much.
It sounds like one of my sentences, to be fair.
Yeah, do you know you finished it by going, gah, and then cheering leads. It's amazing. You're like the same person.
Pretty much.
Anyway, I really love this show and the music of it is just outstanding. And no songs show that more than this one. It closes the first act when Frankenstein and co are basically trying to distract the villagers from seeing the newly released monster. And I'm sorry that actually it's set in Germany, because this is called Transylvania Mania.
The monster's awake. Igor, we have to come up with some sort of diversion and fast before...
Transylvania Mania from the original Broadway production of Young Frankenstein. A lot of Charlestoning going on in that.
A lot.
Very out of breath.
Yeah, again, once again, every time we put on something by Young Frankenstein, you always end up like out of breath.
Because we usually play Together Again.
Yes.
Which is like a good duo song.
Is that the Walk This Way?
Walk This Way. Inspiration for the song by Aerosmith.
There you go.
Run DMC.
See, I know facts. That's a fun fact.
That is a fun fact. That's a very fun fact. And if you enjoyed that...
I think we've said fun fact too many times now.
No, not possible. If you enjoyed that, catch it in London right now at the Garrick Theatre. We do always take requests on this show. You can send them in via social media, Facebook, URN Showtime, Twitter, Showtime URN, or via the online messaging service at urn1350.net. And this next song is a request sent in by Luke, who was going to be on the show tonight.
He was.
He's going to come along with Nerf guns. Whenever I talk to Luke about anything to do with musical theatre or show tunes, he always mentions this particular musical. And, it's the award for the longest title of the show. This is... Brace yourselves, everybody.
Okay.
Stretch. Jeff Wayne's musical version of The War of the Worlds - The New Generation.
Why does it need a dash?
It's so long. The New Generation of War of the Worlds is a 2012 concept album by Jeff Wayne, which is a reimagining of his 1978 concept album that retells the story of H.G. Wells' 1898 novel, The War of the Worlds. So there's a lot of levels.
Yeah.
A lot of levels going on, a lot of inspiration for other things. And it basically follows the story of a Martian attack on Earth. Although Jeff Wayne himself said that one of the reasons he wanted to return to the story for the 2012 version was because he wanted to develop the love story between the main character, George Herbert, the journalist, and his fiancée. He also explained that it would give him the chance to sort of reinterpret the existing concept album, but with modern techniques, which you can hear. There's a lot more synthesizer in it, which I like.
Ooh. It's good.
And the recording features various voices, such as Gary Barlow, Ricky Wilson. Are you laughing at Gary Barlow?
Sorry, I'm trying not to.
He's just everywhere.
He's just every single musical.
Yeah. Maverick Sabre, Joss Stone, Alex Clare, and of course Liam Neeson as the narrator, whereas it was Richard Burton in the 1978 version. And the song that we're going to play, it's called Thunderchild, and... the reason we're playing it is because it's sort of the one song that I always associate with War of the Worlds. I think because it was used as the backing music for the tour trailer in 2012.
Yeah.
But also it reminds me of a Christmas song. And so I don't know why.
Neither do I. because it doesn't. Just it if does. You're wondering.
The bit where he like starts singing, it really reminds me of a Christmas song. If anyone listens to this and is like, oh yeah, it sounds like this Christmas song, please message in because it's genuinely concerning.
Or
me.
Any other weird associations you have.
No, just Christmas.
Just Christmas.
That's all I care about right now. I want to get to the bottom of it.
Message me on Twitter.
Message Abby on Twitter. Message us at un1350.net. Without further ado, though, from Jeff Wayne's musical version of The War of the Worlds - The New Generation, this is Thunderchild.
The Earth belonged to the Martians.
Dramatic fade out.
I know. That's not a very hopeful end to that song, is it?
I mean, like, I haven't seen War of the Worlds, but I don't imagine it ends well.
No, not great.
It's kind of like, in my head, Day of the Triffids, ooh, which just has the worst ending of any thing ever.
Okay.
They just leave. They just leave.
Spoilers.
And they go off to, like, the Isle of Man or White or whatever and leave everyone blinded to the, you know, viciousness of the Triffids.
There goes our Isle of Man listener.
Token Isle of Man listener.
Yeah, the one. It's gone now.
Damn it. I've got nothing against the Isle of Man, just the characters. Or indeed writer. Triffids annoy me. That was, of course, Thunderchild from me.
Just Triffids annoy me is such a great... getting tweeted.
Thunderchild there from the 2012 concept album of Jeff Wayne's War of the Worlds. And if you have any requests like Luke, send them in by social media on Facebook, URN Showtime, or Twitter, Showtime URN. You mentioned this earlier.
Yes.
That in your house, the Houseman house, if you will, you always watch The Nightmare Before Christmas.
We do.
At Halloween.
We do.
I don't like it.
I think it's one you have to grow up with. It's kind of... I don't quite know how to describe it. It's stop motion animation, which is great anyway.
I can describe it. It's really creepy.
It is.
I don't like it.
But it's not, like, scary. I don't find it scary, but I think that's because I've watched it so many times.
I don't think scary is the word, but I don't... It's just really creepy. I don't like the animation.
Oh, is that...
The animation's really good, but it's kind of like The Corpse Bride, where it freaks me out. I don't like how the people look. I'm very judgmental.
Monsters. You are. I just really love it. It's just something that's like, it's got a special place in my heart. And I know all the words, so that helps.
It's your cat.
It is. I'll take that.
I mean, they're not normally comparable, but in this situation, Tim Burton's 1993 stop motion musical, of course, tells the story of Jack Skellington, leader of Halloween Town. Who decides to bring Christmas to Halloween. And ruins both Christmas and Halloween.
Rude. He gets disillusioned with being the Pumpkin King because he's too good at it. He's just really great and there's no challenge anymore. So he decides, right, I want a new challenge. And then at the beginning of the film, he kind of stumbles accidentally upon portals to other holidays. And then there's one that's shaped like a Christmas tree and he falls into Christmas land. And that's a great song.
I have a fun fact about Nightmare Before Christmas. It originated as a poem written by Tim Burton in 1982 while working as an animator for Disney. And then when the film came to be made, it was released through Disney, but via its Touchstone Pictures banner because it was believed to be too dark and scary for kids, which I'm not disagreeing with. I really don't like it. Not only is it not a Christmassy film, I realise that I've ruined it slightly by watching it on Christmas Eve, which it isn't a Christmas Eve film.
No, but it's a Wonderful Life Christmas Eve film.
I haven't seen that either. After Christmas, so all the way. Polar Express.
Polar Express is fine. I love Arthur Christmas. We agree on that one.
Things are going to kick off, Abby. It freaks me out.
It's okay.
Which
it can freak
not a
you
lot
out.
Does as an adult, but I don't. It's just creepy.
I just love it.
The reason we are going to play a song from The Nightmare Before Christmas is because here at Showtime, I really like killing two birds with one stone. And we can precisely do that with this song. Because alongside all of this going on tonight, Broadway actress Adrienne Warren, known for shows like The Wiz, Dreamgirls, Shuffle Along. Oh, here we go. Shuffle Along. Or The Making of the Musical Sensation of 1912 and All That Followed.
My
Very
God,
long title.
Why so long?
And she's also in Bring It On and Orange is the New Black on television, all sorts. She's just been announced as the lead in the upcoming Tina Turner musical, which is called Tina, in capital letters. Dash, the Tina Turner musical. Which,
another Dash!
I mean, very, very original name. I want to know how long it took them to think of.
Storyboard that one.
It's set to open at the Aldwych Theatre in London next March, but tickets are available now and at a much more reasonable price than Young Frankenstein. Just saying. Adrienne Warren is... she's just a brilliant singer. I first came across her performing Almost There from The Princess and the Frog at one of the, like, the Disney Princess events at 54 Below, which is a cabaret bar in Broadway. It's an amazing place. I might get Abby to share that video, including the video of her singing this song, because the reason I mention all this is that she recently covered a version of Sally's song from The Nightmare Before Christmas, which I don't particularly like. I don't particularly like it. It's very tinkly, but in like a scary way.
Yeah. It's quite a creepy song.
See, you're grinning at this because you're like, I love it. I'm like, I don't like it.
You just look really scared. And it's just, it's weird seeing someone so scared of it because
it just unnerves me.
And I normally hate like scary things. Like I won't go see horror films or anything like that. But this is the one thing where I'm like, it's not scary. It's just a bit of fun.
Don't like
and
it.
It's a really nice love story.
Take a listen to that. If you like Nightmare Before Christmas, you're probably going to love this. If you like Adrienne Warren, you're probably going to love it as well. If you like me and In the Middle, we'll see how it goes. This is Sally's song. It is interesting that we've gone from that, which I don't like because it's really creepy, to something that we're literally including because it used to really scare me.
See? Sorry.
Yeah, maybe it's just to do with, like, growing up with it. I don't know. One of my most vivid memories of childhood is watching Cats, like, on repeat. I associate it with The Railway Children because it was on the video after The Railway Children. So you'd watch The Railway Children and then you'd fast forward through the adverts and then Cats would begin. And I love Cats. It is the most amazing show. The dancing is spectacular. The songs are brilliant. But I used to be absolutely terrified of McCavity to the point at which I would watch Cats and then, like, have to fetch my mum to watch the McCavity bits with me.
It is quite creepy.
It's not creepy, though. It's just, like, rah! Scary cat.
Yeah, there he is. He's
got, like, scary makeup on and everything. And, yeah, so each and every time I'd watch it and fetch my mum. So she must know this bit, like...
Oh, yeah.
The back of her hand.
It's like the Dalmatians... video I had on repeat. My mum, like, now has nightmares, I think, of that stupid video. Anyway.
I'm assuming that's 101 Dalmatians. It's not just, like, a video of you, like, murdering puppies.
It was, like, a sing-along version with, like, real Dalmatians. It was, yeah. It was an entire thing. Huh. Ella's now nodding like I'm a crazy person.
Well, didn't say it.
Not wrong.
I am proud to say that I'm no longer scared of McCavity. I should put that out there. Scared of Nightmare Before Christmas, don't like it. Not scared of McCavity. But I figure, you know, it is the Halloween show, and while Cats isn't by any means a Halloween-themed musical or, you know, indeed related to it in...
I suppose Cats are like, you could go Cats, Witches, Halloween.
See, I think if I were going to do Halloween, I would dress up as a cat. Not like Tail and Ears.
You would go full...
Andrew Lloyd Webber cat leotard.
Will
hair.
I'll see on Tuesday how far we've got with that one.
I doubt it's going to happen. But yeah, I love this show, and I, you know, any excuse to play it is fine by me. So this is, of course, McCavity from Cats.
McCavity's a mystery cat. He's called the Hidden Paw.
Discovered
there, McCavity's not there.
Oh, McCavity from the 1998 film version of Cats, featuring Eva May and Rosemary Ford as Demeter and Bon Balluina, respectively. I love that song.
I just love all of it. It's a great song. It's really good. It's one of the ones that gets stuck in your head.
Yeah.
When you see it, and suddenly you just find yourself going, McCavity, McCavity. And you're like,
no one like. I can do that. No, I won't.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Rosemary Ford plays Bon Balluina. Married to Robert Lindsay.
Oh, that's nice. I like that fun fact.
Thank you. This is an Abby-approved fun fact from Ella. We've gone a few weeks without mentioning this musical. Probably some kind of record here on the show. But we couldn't do Halloween, a Halloween special without playing something from it. Now, everybody get ready. Say it with us. It's, of course, Jekyll and Hyde.
No, we did it together.
I've spent so long this week trying to decide what song to play, and then when I did decide on a song, I couldn't decide which version to play, because I thought we'd play a brand new song that we haven't played on the show before. As much as we love Bring On The Men, we do play it a lot. I wanted to play something slightly different, and we're going to go for a song called A Dangerous Game, which is sung by Hyde and Lucy, and it is simply stunning, and it gives me chills every time I hear it, and certainly fits the Halloween theme, I hope. And I thought about playing the original 1994 concept recording, which features both Linda Edda and Anthony Warlow, who, in my opinion, are the best Lucy and Jekyll ever in the history of the show, but because it's a concept album, the song isn't constructed in quite the same way as it is in the Broadway version, and I prefer the song in the Broadway version, even though Anthony Warlow has been replaced by an actor called Robert Cuccioli, who is still great.
Yeah,
I love him, and I think he really suits this song, and the way his voice goes together with Linda Edda's is brilliant. But I do really love Anthony Warlow, and I feel loyal to him in a way I don't to Robert, and I'm sorry, Robert, because I'm sure you're a lovely guy. So from the original Broadway cast recording of Jekyll and Hyde, this is Dangerous Game.
I feel your fingers.
It's now time for our penultimate song of the evening, which comes from a much newer musical, Jim Steinman's Bat Out of Hell. It played in Manchester earlier this year, then transferred to the West End for a very short run this summer, and then it's gone over to Toronto right now, and then it's going to be back in London next year. So it's going back and forward a bit. It seems like one of those shows that you either love or you hate. Because everyone's been agreeing that, like, oh, yeah, it's really spectacular and the music's great. But for some people, like, there's not a lot of plot. Oh, it just gets a bit lost in the music.
Yeah.
Or it's just like, yeah, it's a bit of a love story, a bit derivative. Personally, I, having not seen it, I really like the music. I think it's really well performed. Andrew Pollack, who plays the main character Strat, is adorable. Love him to bits. And I think he does a really good job with the songs, which, because they're so iconic, when you've got like all of Meatloaf's greatest hits there, it must be difficult to do them that well and have everyone going, ah, it's not as good as Meatloaf.
Like,
and I think he's brilliant. He's so adorable.
Well, give him a bit of a self-esteem boost there.
Because it's Halloween and I really like this musical, we're going to play something from Bat Out of Hell. And unfortunately, there's no cast recording yet. Well, there is, but you can only get it from the theatre.
So,
which it's playing
difficult.
At. And I'm not travelling to Canada. So what we're going to do is we're going to play their performance of Bat Out of Hell, the title song, live at the London Palladium. So without further ado, this is Bat Out of Hell. So that brings us to the end of tonight. I'm really out of breath.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the madness. Hope you've enjoyed this little taste of Halloween. Doesn't happen very often. Well, once a year, but I really don't do Halloween very often at all. And
As evidenced by the fact you forgot it's just an annual event.
Yeah. Smooth. We'll be back next week at 6 o'clock on Sunday for more of the usual stuff. So get your requests in during the week. Send them to us via social media. URN Showtime on Facebook. Showtime URN on Twitter. And we're going to cut straight to our final song. This is taken from the 2013 tour of Rocky Horror, because it's a brilliant song. And we went out the other night and they played a version of this song and it was like jazzed up and made modern, and I really didn't like it. I wasn't happy.
I stood with arms crossed and did not time warp.
I did time warp a bit, but I wasn't happy about it. So this is, of course, the time warp to close our Halloween themed show. We'll be back next week. So thank you for listening. For now, it's just a jump.
This is URN
Showtime Breakdown.